Chapter 6. The Palace of Desire. Fenris struck out at the demon without thinking. It was sickening to see those inhuman eyes and a familiar face. The false Isabella evaporated into pale smoke just before his blade connected. The four white walls remained, smooth and unchanging. There was no obvious weak point. Fenris threw himself against the nearest. He felt a shiver run through his markings, but he only succeeded in bruising his shoulder. Despair began to grow in him. It could keep him here for as long as he chose. Perhaps it intended for the tedium to break him. It had eternity to wait for its prey. With enough time and with enough hopelessness, Fenris would no doubt succumb. The dreams of Hawk it offered were sweet ones. He would not have to know that he had failed, that he was dying. He swore. He tried assaulting the blank wall again, to no avail. "I will not surrender, demon!" he cried, as he stumbled back, shrugging hard as if he could shrug away the pain. "Let me out!"
"Is that what you want?"
whispered a voice behind him, so close it might have been speaking into his ear. He turned around sharply, but the demon was not there. He heard laughter behind him again. When he turned back, there was still nothing, and the laughter grew louder. Fenris stilled. He would not twist and turn for the amusement of this creature. "Let me out," he demanded again.
"Is that what you really want?"
the demon said. Fenris thought for a moment that he felt its breath on the back of his neck. It took great effort not to turn around.
"I promise you, if you stay here, I will find a way to satisfy you."
"I want my companions, and I want to leave this place, creature," Fenris said, staring grimly straight ahead, ignoring the prickling sensation that told him there was something powerful and terrible standing just behind him. "Nothing you offer could ever satisfy me." There was an indefinable change in quality of the air in the room. Fenris still could not see the demon, but he felt absolutely sure that it was pouting.
"Oh, fine," it said.
A door appeared in the wall he was staring at.
"Go on, then. Find your friends and take them away with you, mortal."
Low laughter again.
"Assuming they want to go."
The demon's realm, palace, tower was a maze of white corridors without doorways. Fenris ran down them to begin with, but then sense reasserted itself. There was nothing to be gained by throwing himself headlong into a trap, and he might well miss something in his haste. He might have already missed something, he thought then, and tried to retrace his steps. But everything looked too much alike, and he could not find the doorway back to the room he had been trapped in. Perhaps the demon had made it disappear. He was the least able of any of them to navigate a labyrinth like this. It called for a mage with a mage's expertise, or at least for someone like Varric, with his sharp eye for secrets and anomalies. Fenris could not make sense of the place. He paused at an intersection where five white corridors joined together, the joining marked, absurdly, by an inverted tower built of empty wine bottles and hovering just slightly off the ground. Fenris looked from one corridor opening to another. They all looked the same. There was no sign of Varric or Meryl or Solas.
"Well, are you looking or not?"
said the demon's voice. Fenris couldn't help it. He looked over his shoulder for her. Not there, of course.
"Don't you want to find them?"
the demon said.
"Why aren't you doing anything?"
"I do not dance for your pleasure, demon," Fenris said. "I am not your slave." He spotted her then, out of the corner of his eye. She was reflected in the tower of wine bottles, the same swaggering figure nearly 24 times over. A woman's form distorted into monstrosity by the curvature of the glass. She still wore Isabella's shape, Isabella's face. Fenris should have been reflected in the tower along with her, but the glass appeared not to have registered him. Fenris took a couple steps towards one of the corridors as if he meant to go that way. He watched the demon's multiple reflections move with him. He rather thought she was standing to his right. He took another step, and another. If he reached for his weapon, he would give himself away. He glanced at the reflections one last time, and then spun on his heel and struck out with transparent fists that blazed with light. "Oh!" said the demon, and Fenris heard the voice with his ears and not his mind. He did not actually see her. His fists connected only with empty air. Wisps of pale mist were all that suggested he might have come close. In the same instant, there was a tinkling crash. The tower of wine bottles had collapsed and smashed into hundreds of tiny glittering shards.
"You are determined," said the demon. "You earned a hint."
Fenris stared down at the collapsed heap of broken glass. His face was reflected in the sharp-edged pieces now. They had fallen in a rough line. He looked at it for a moment before he realized. An arrow. It pointed back at the corridor he had come from. Fenris hesitated. But what better plan was there? At the far end of the corridor was a door, which certainly had not been there before. Fenris opened it and saw only darkness beyond. No way to know what the demon planned for him now. He drew his sword and stepped through the shadows. He was almost instantly hit by the smell. Stale beer, piss, and sweat. The noise came a second later. Shouting, cheering, a fight breaking out. Someone calling for more ale. The room was greasy and dirty and lit by candles, night and day. Fenris automatically looked to his left, and there she was, Isabella by the bar, downing an ale and then wiping the froth off her lip with a suggestive smirk. Her eyes still gleamed pale red. She caught Fenris's eye, grinned, and vanished. The Hanged Man. Well, if this really was a recreation of Kirkwall's worst public house, Fenris thought, then Varric should be holding court upstairs. He noticed, as he shoved his way through the mass of patrons, that the illusion was not quite perfect. The drinkers lifting their cups to their lips often missed their mouths, splashing their ale across the floor, where it vanished. Some people had several doppelgangers in the crowd. One of the barmaids was wearing full armor, and not just any armor, but the particular overlapping plate of the Dalish, which looked strange indeed on a human form. He darted up the stairs with his sword still in his hand and rounded the corner into Varric's rooms. "Varric," he began. But the rooms were all wrong. Varric's fine carpets had been rolled up against the walls, and his things packed away. Most of the space was taken up by a long table piled at one end with scrolls, and at the other with several sealed boxes of the type used to contain raw lyrium. There were armor and weapon stands and a cleared space where a disassembled blade trap was lying in neatly regimented pieces. Fenris stared. A forge had been set up in one corner, and a solidly built dwarven woman was working it. She turned around and saw Fenris. "Oh, perfect," she said. "You look strong. Come here and hold this steady for me."
"Where is?"
"Over here, Broody," Varric said. "Good to see you, if that is you." He was sitting behind his writing desk, his feet propped up on a second chair. His comfortable pose did not hide his tension. He did not look at Fenris. His eyes were all on the smith. "Are you helping or not?" she said. Fenris glanced at Varric, who nodded very slightly. "If that is you." It seemed he knew or guessed that this was an illusion.
"Certainly," Fenris said, and went over to the forge.
He held the intricate object the woman pointed to steady while she worked.
"Good, that's good," she said when she was done. "All right, I'm busy. Go have a drink, boys."
Fenris looked at Varric.
"Fenris, it's been forever,"
Varric said. He gestured expansively. His eyes spoke an urgent warning.
Come on, let's hit the bar. How's Hawk? Fenris allowed himself to be steered towards the doorway and stairs. Well, when I saw him last, he managed to say. Varric looked relieved. When they reached the bar, he leaned in and said in an undertone, "Thanks. Things get a little hairy if you don't play along." "Who is she?" Fenris said. He glanced along the bar. There was no sign of the thing that looked like Isabella.
"Some damn demon. I don't know."
"I meant..."
"I know what you meant, Broody,"
Varric sighed. The bartender set two foaming flagons of ale in front of them.
"Bianca. Her name's Bianca."
"Bianca?" Fenris repeated.
"I don't want to talk about it."
Varric reached for the ale, but his hand passed straight through it.
"Do you know, that happens every time. Apparently, this demon lord's powers don't stretch to providing me with a stiff drink, but I keep hoping."
"We need to leave," Fenris said.
"I know, I know."
"We should." Fenris stood up, looking at the door. Varric tugged him down again.
"Do you think I haven't tried that?" he said. "Every time I walk out of that door, I find myself walking straight back in again. Next thing I know, I'm up there and she's saying hello and telling me what she's working on."
"And if you don't play along?" Fenris asked. Varric made a face.
"She gets upset. We yell at each other. Then I'm walking in the door again."
"What if we killed her?" Fenris said.
"I thought of that."
"And?"
"And I can't do it, so I don't know."
"That being is not the woman you know, Varric," Fenris said.
"I ain't know what that. I can see that," Varric laughed, not happily. "You know how long it took me to work out this was a dream, Broody? All of 20 seconds. Bianca in the Hanged Man? Bianca in Kirkwall? Never. Never in a million years. Not her."
He sighed.
"We'd probably only drive each other crazy anyway. I thought I'd made my peace. Shows what I know."
Fenris did not know what to say. "I am sorry," he managed.
"Not your fault,"
Varric said bleakly. Fenris could not recall ever seeing him look bleak before. It made him look much older. There was a long moment of quiet between them. The mindless taproom bustle continued. Finally, Varric bowed his head and then scrubbed at his face with his hands.
"Right, you're right. I'm not staying in a pub with no alcohol in it forever. We've got to find the others. And then Hawk. Let's do it."
"You need not," Fenris said. "I am..."
"More than willing," he meant to say.
Varric cut him off with a hand gesture.
"If this demon is anything like as twisty-minded as the others I've met," he said, "it won't work unless I do it."
Fenris felt or heard the low chuckle of laughter cut through the meaningless noise of the taproom crowd. When he glanced along the bar, the thing that looked like Isabella was there once more. She raised her ale at them in a friendly salute. Her pale eyes glittered red in the dim and smoky room.
"Well, that's creepy," Varric said.
He'd seen it too.
"Come on, then. This won't get easier if we wait."
"Show me, Varric Tethras,"
the demon's voice whispered behind them as they climbed the stairs.
"Show me what you really want."
The spirit or dream that wore Bianca's face was still working at the forge. She called a hello over her shoulder, but did not turn around. Varric's face was pale and strained. He slung his crossbow off his back. Fenris readied his blade and waited.
"Bianca,"
Varric said at last. Then the thing turned around. It did not fight. It would have been much easier for Varric, Fenris thought, if the thing had fought, if it had revealed its true nature and risen up to battle against them with a scream of rage. But when the first crossbow bolt sprouted from her collarbone, the doppelganger only gasped with soft pain and shock. She said Varric's name, and Varric screwed his face up as if he were facing some terrible storm when he loosed the next bolt. That one took her in the shoulder, and the third sank deep between her ribs. The false Bianca fell to her knees, hands coming up to touch the ends of the bolts where they sprouted from her flesh.
"Why?"
she said, in a voice that still sounded like it belonged to a dwarven woman. A voice rich with pain and betrayal. Fenris nearly looked away. It was very hard to watch.
"Damn it,"
said Varric, and the last bolt took the thing through the throat. It fell forward onto its face and was still. Varric lowered his crossbow. His expression was terrible. "Varric," said Fenris after a moment.
"Not a word. Not one damn word," Varric said.
"She was not your Bianca," said Fenris all the same. He felt he had to. There was silence. Then Varric laughed.
"Oh, I know," he said. He patted the crossbow on the stock. "My Bianca's right here. Come on, that had better have been enough to get us out of here."
It was. The hanged man dissolved into white smoke around them as they crossed the taproom once more, and by the time they reached the door, they were in another plain white-walled room. The door opened at a touch, and then they were in the twisting corridors once again. Fenris led the way back towards the intersection with the smashed glass, but could not find it. He rather thought the hallways had moved.
"So, we're looking for Marilyn Solis," Varric said. "Keep a lookout for anything that looks like the secrets of ancient elves. If this desire demon wants Meryl's attention, that's how to get it."
"And the apostate?" Varric rolled his eyes.
"You do realize they're both apostates? You keep calling him that, it's going to get confusing.
And as for what he's doing right now, I don't really know. More ancient elf stuff would be my best guess." He chuckled. "Though, come to think of it, he spent most of his time at Skyhold painting a giant mural. Perhaps we'll find him surrounded by art supplies. Honestly, I'm not worried about him. He'll turn up."
"He is as alone with this demon as any of us," Fenris said.
"Yeah, but it's Solis. Some of his best friends are demons. He can handle himself."
"So we look for the secrets of the ancient elves, then. Perhaps you could suggest what they look like."
He expected Varric to laugh, but instead he said,
"In my experience, shiny, creepy, lots of animal statues."
He took in Fenris's look and added,
"Remind me to tell you that story sometime. It's a good one."
They kept exploring the labyrinth. There was no way to mark the passing of time. It might have been hours or even days. Fenris had not felt truly tired since they entered the Fade, which had surely been some time ago now. Varric took to leaving trail signs at the openings of pathways they had already taken, but it did not help very much. It was sheer chance that they found the next doorway. It was almost hidden in a shallow nook that led off a crossroads. It had a handle, but the handle was ghostly. Varric's hand passed straight through it. Fenris grimaced, but the solution was obvious. The lyrium burned only briefly, and with his markings ablaze, he could touch the ghostly handle. The door swung open silently. They stood at the base of a rickety flight of stairs. A brisk, chill wind blew through the arrow slits in the stone walls. Somewhere a raven croaked. The place was vaguely familiar, though Fenris could not think where it was. Varric had no such difficulty. He looked around in surprise.
"Wait, this is Skyhold," he said.
Then Fenris recognized it. These were the stairs up to the Inquisitor's tower rooms. He had charged up them, full of fury and despair, when he sought her out to hold her accountable for Hawk. The raven croaked again. There was a thump and a cry from the top of the stairs. Fenris rushed forward, Varric hard on his heels. Something was happening up there. He pounded up the stairs into the Inquisitor's bright, many-windowed apartment, sword at the ready.
and then stopped abruptly. Varric nearly crashed into him, but caught himself just in time. They were both trying not to look directly at what was happening.
"Well, this is awkward," Varric said after a moment.
The thump had been a chair getting knocked over. Solas had the Inquisitor, or rather some fade dream of her, pinned up against the far wall. Most of their clothes were scattered across the bedroom floor. Solas's face was buried in her throat, and her head was tipped back as she cursed, softly and fluently in the elven tongue. Fenris thought, absurdly, that he had never heard anyone use so much elvish at once. Not even Meryl. It was not necessary to know the language to understand perfectly what the words meant. The hot, caressing tone was more than enough. There were scratch marks fading on Solas's bare back. The Inquisitor hooked a naked thigh over his hip. Fenris forced his eyes away.
"So, not art supplies, it seems," he said levelly.
Varric, also determinedly not looking, said,
"Some things I never needed to know."
There was a yelp and a low groan from across the room. Fenris tried extremely hard not to listen. Solas and his fate illusion seemed totally unaware of them.
"We should stop them."
Varric made a face.
"Or we could just come back later, when they're finished."
"If we can find the place again," Fenris said. "And if..."
All right, I wasn't being serious."
Varric took a step into the room.
"Okay, sorry to interrupt, but the fun's..."
He never had a chance to finish. The room was already changing. Solas and the illusory Inquisitor disappeared. The tower apartment, with its stained glass gleaming in the crisp mountain sunlight, gave way to shadow and stars overhead and grass underfoot. Manicured trees were twined around arch supports to form green bowers. Somewhere there was the sound of running water, and somewhere further off than that, the chatter of a party was audible, and musicians were playing Orlesian tunes. Fenris could not see Varric anywhere. He had vanished with the tower room. The first thing to do, then, was to find him. He did not get far. He had only gone a few steps into the garden when he heard voices.
"There is so much I have not said to you,"
Solas said. Fenris turned. Solas and the Inquisitor were standing in the shadow of an arched and leafy bower. The Inquisitor wore a dress uniform of the Inquisition, splendid reds and blues. Solas, incongruously, was still in his wanderer's rags. Fenris tried to advance on the mismatched pair. He found he could not. Something was holding the illusion of the evening in absolute stillness while the apostate spoke. He felt again the prickling sensation of something huge and terrible close by. The desire demon was there, he knew it, though he could not see it. It was watching. Something about his prey had seized its interest totally. It would not easily relinquish such a prize. The dream Inquisitor was still looking at Solas, considering. Something was strange about her face. It was not until she raised her eyebrows that Fenris abruptly realized she had Dalish clan markings, which she had not possessed when he had met her in the flesh. They shimmered faintly and seemed to fade in and out of existence, as if the illusion could not make up its mind about them.
"Say it, if you want to,"
she said, light and amused. It was a good imitation of the real thing. Fenris had only met her once, but he could tell that much.
"I cannot."
"Can't you?"
"I meant to," Solas said urgently. "I tried. My courage failed me, Venon. I have told you 1,000,000 lies. You who love the truth. In my countless years, there has never been a spirit like yours, and I have betrayed you more ways than you know. Before I even knew you, I betrayed you. I did not think it possible. I have been a fool."
"It's not too late," the Inquisitor said. "I'm listening."
She smiled, though it was only a slight curl at the corners of her mouth. Her clan markings had disappeared for good now.
"I'll be here all night."
Solas fell to his knees in front of her.
Fenris still could not move. He could feel the demon's fascination. It seemed almost to be holding its breath. Solas grasped both the Inquisitor's hands in his and bowed his head over them.
"I have been so long alone," he said, in a low voice that seemed to be picked up by the warm, soft wind blowing through the garden. "Alone, alone, alone."
Fenris knew that he should not have been watching this. It seemed somehow even more private than the scene he and Varric had interrupted in the tower. Solas drew a deep breath to speak. The dream of the Inquisitor looked down at him, thoughtful, waiting. Fenris wished he could look away.
"Oh, there you are,"
said a bright and totally unexpected voice right by Fenris's ear.
"I knew you had to be around here somewhere."
Fenris startled and stumbled and was taken aback to find he could move again. Meryl looked pleased with herself. Varric was standing next to her. He was wearing an Inquisition dress uniform, too, and holding a plate of very small canapes.
"Good job, Daisy," he said.
He looked at the plate in his hand, shook his head, and put it down on top of a nearby ornamental hedge.
"Now let's find Solas and get out of here. Attending this party was bad enough the first time."
"He is there," Fenris said, and nodded at the shadowy bower. "But the demon has him enthralled."
"Oh, dear," Meryl said.
There was a tiny wrinkle of concern between her eyebrows.
Well, we could try asking her to let him go."
"Asking?
She seems nice,"
Meryl said. "She seems nice," Fenris repeated incredulously.
"You still haven't explained exactly how you got away from her, Daisy," said Varric.
"Oh, I had sex with her."
She looked slightly confused when she saw their expressions.
"Was I not supposed to? She just wants to give people things they want. It seemed like the easiest way."
Fenris kept staring at her. Varric opened and closed his mouth several times, and then appeared to give up.
"Asking nicely," he said instead. "Well, anyone got a better idea?"
"We could leave him here,"
Fenris said.
"We're not doing that," Varric said.
"Okay, I'll take that as no one having a better idea, so go ahead, Meryl. Floor's yours."
"All right,"
Meryl said. She looked around, and then towards the bower where Solas knelt at the Inquisitor's feet. She stepped towards them.
"Excuse me," she said. "Lady Desire, I want to talk to you."
"Do you?"
said the demon. It was leaning against a tree to their left, hip cocked, pale eyes gleaming red. It had definitely not been there a moment before. It was smirking, and it still looked like Isabella.
"Just talk,"
it said, and pouted.
"Yes, please," said Meryl. "All of us, please? Would you mind?"
"It's a wrench," said the demon. "He's very interesting. But for you, kitten, anything."
The shadowy evening and the ordered Orlesian garden fell away into mist and nothingness. They were in another plain white room. Solas was left on his knees, head bowed. He froze and then scrambled abruptly to his feet. His face was crimson. With humiliation, Fenris thought, and with anger.
"So very interesting," the demon said to him in crooning tones.
"You," said Solas.
"Was that not what you wanted?"
There was a pause. Solas appeared to collect himself.
"Ah," he said at last. "Desire, I see."
The demon grinned. It turned to Meryl.
"Well, kitten," it said. "What is it you wanted badly enough to interrupt me? I don't like being interrupted."
"I'm ever so sorry," Meryl said.
"Oh, don't apologize," the demon said. "That's not interesting."
It stretched luxuriously. The movement was so much one of Isabella's that Fenris could not help himself. "Why that shape?" he demanded. The demon looked at him and shrugged.
I don't know. I just picked the first thing you all thought of when you thought about sex.
Fenris, Merrill, and Varric all avoided each other's eyes. Fenris's gaze fell on Solas, and he realized the mage was also trying not to look at any of them. Varric worked it out at the same moment.
When did you meet Isabella?
I am a traveler, Solas said testily. There was still a faint chagrined flush high on his cheekbones. I meet a great many people.
Would you prefer a different shape? Said the demon. I can do that.
It ran its hands seductively over its body as it reshaped itself. Isabella's clothes fell away and a deep pink glow flushed through its suddenly bared skin. Fenris forced his gaze from the demon's naked breasts. Horned, sharp-toothed, it flavored him with a wicked grin, which was still uncomfortably like Isabella's.
How do you feel about the classics? It purred. I've actually always thought that look was a little bit much, said Varric. I mean, the nudity and the...
He gestured the shape of the exaggerated curves.
And all the pink?
Have a care, Varric, Solas said unnecessarily. The fade creature was frowning.
Well, I think you look very nice, Merrill assured it quickly. Though you looked nice before, too. You're very pretty. Very desirable.
It smiled toothily at her.
Do you really think so?
Oh, yes, Merrill said.
I do like you. So what is it you want, kitten?
Well, actually, said Merrill, we want to leave.
Leave? The demon said.
Its eyes went wide.
Have I been such a bad host? I gave you all such nice things.
You've been lovely, truly, Merrill said. But we really just want to go. It would make us all ever so happy.
Why? Said the demon. I don't understand. I can give you everything you want. Why will none of you let me?
Well,
do not try to explain, Solas said, quietly but firmly. The thought processes of mortals will merely distress and anger her. She understands only desire.
Please,
Merrill said instead.
We really want to go.
You're being so unreasonable, the demon said. But fine, fine. If that's what you really want, you can go.
She gestured. Glittering portals appeared all around the walls. Anywhere you want, on one condition.
Uh-oh, said Varric under his breath.
The demon heard and glanced at him.
It's not a bad condition, it said. It's nice. I won't let you go until I've given at least one of you your heart's desire.
There was a moment of silence. Won't or can't, said Fenris.
She's a spirit. There is no meaningful difference,
Solas said.
That's my condition, and it's final, the demon said. Otherwise, you can all stay here.
And she crossed her arms under her naked breasts, set her lips in a petulant pout, and waited. They all looked at each other.
Now what do we do? Said Varric.
I think I know, Merrill said. I can ask her to tell me the truth about Arlathan.
No, said Solas. Merrill blinked at him.
Why not?
She is a young spirit, Solas said.
That is clear. She was once a wisp, and has only claimed this place recently. She has not possessed her power or nature for long. She may well know nothing, and even if she did...
He stopped. Finally, he said,
even if she did, it is not her nature to possess knowledge or share it. She could never truly satisfy your curiosity, and she would destroy herself trying.
Oh, Merrill said.
She looked disappointed.
I didn't think of that.
Then we're back to square one, Varric said. Do you have a heart's desire that she actually could satisfy, Chuckles?
Andraste's ass, does any of us?
I'm waiting,
sing-songed the demon behind them.
She would no doubt accept, as an alternative, one of us remaining here, Solas said, so that she could continue to attempt to fulfill the desires of that individual.
Are you volunteering?
Said Fenris. Solas did not answer, which was answer enough. All of them stood there helpless for a time. Then the answer came to Fenris, and he hated it at once and knew it was right. He turned back to the demon.
Satisfy me, he said.
It blinked at him. You were the difficult one, it said. What do you want? Fenris drew a deep breath. He did not look left or right. If he glanced once at any of the others, he knew he would falter.
He said.
The demon waited, head tilted in interest. It had to know at least some of what he would say. It had already plucked the desire out of his head to spin its first lies. That should have made this easier. It did not.
There was a man, Fenris said at last. He was nothing I would ever have imagined myself wanting. A mage. I distrusted him even when he helped me. I enjoyed his power too much. He laughed at things that I could not imagine laughing at. He...
Yes, the demon said,
not encouraging him, but reveling in what he was saying. Its eyes, her eyes, it was impossible not to see it as female, were heavy-lidded as it listened to him. It knew. It had to know. But it was enjoying this. I should have despised Hawk, Fenris got out. I tried to despise Hawk, but I still wanted him. In the end, I loved him. I never meant to. I could not help it. Even after he sent me away, I could not help it. I no longer wish to try. Hawk changed me. Hawk changed everything.
But I tried that, the demon said. I gave him to you and you didn't like it.
How could I be satisfied with a dream? Fenris said. Hawk is lost. He was lost here in the Fade. He may well be dead, I do not know. More than anything, creature. He swallowed. I want to know, and if he lives, I want to find him.
The demon looked at him for a long time. She drew close to him and raised one clawed hand to cup his face. Fenris could not help his flinch. The creature did not seem to care.
Oh, she said, with a shiver of pleasure. You do, don't you? You want him so much.
Fenris stared up at her alien, pointed face and said nothing. She smiled at him, teeth sharp. The answer, she said, that is your heart's desire, to know if your hawk is alive.
Fenris's heart felt heavy in his chest. She was so obviously triumphant. He nodded, once. The smile broadened. The demon leaned in so close that her red lips brushed his ear when she spoke.
He is.